Hey, I'm Dr. Kate Wong.
And I'm Tierra Mitchell.
And you are listening to the Holistic Hope Podcast. We invite you to join us
and our village
in conversations rooted in wellness and health so that we may grow a community of generational healing through love.
It is so great to have you again. Great to see you. Good to hear that you're doing well. And, you know, Kate and I, we really wanted this season to be about the illusion of choice, right? Kate, am I saying that? We haven't actually talked about that.
We talked about how some things can be like an illusion of choice, even though it seems like it's a binary yes, no, like choice one, choice two, but in reality, it's a spectrum of choices. It's a vastness of it. And so we just kind of want to open that up, that it's not like you lost your choice, but basically it's like, it's not like there's only one choice or there's only two choices. There's a spectrum of choices. Mm-hmm. If you actually kind of step off of the, maybe the mainstream or the binary version of it. So that's kind of where we kind of started everything up with the season.
And that was where you, beautiful lady, came in. Because it was just perfect, you know. It is, the illusion of choice does usually happen because there's a scarcity mindset around what your options are. But really there, like Kate was just saying, there's a spectrum of choices. So that was where we were thinking when we said we want to talk about scarcity and abundance in 2021, because I've personally noticed this huge shift, like in the collective, where you have the people who are like, what are you guys talking about? Abundance is where, and then you have the people who are like, take several seats. We're in scarcity right now, you know? So I've been thinking it's so interesting to see. I believe the shift came from COVID, you know, when people had to sit inside and we did have to really sit with our emotions and everything. It forces you to do some priorities, you know, some priority seeking. And I do feel that that's where the shift is coming from, because there are people who are still feeling the emotions of the shock of COVID. And then there are people who allowed those emotions to help them see just how wonderful the world really is. And so I would really want to hear your insights on those observations.
Yes. Wow. Well, I don't know if you saw, but when you were talking about the spectrum of choices, I did the Macaulay Culkin shock face, the Home Alone shock face, because my horoscope yesterday in my CoStar app, I don't know if either of you have ever downloaded this app. It is amazing for horoscopes. And my horoscope yesterday was, don't forget, you always have choices. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about choices. I mean, I just love that alignment. And I couldn't agree with you more that there's been this massive shift in mindset in terms of abundance versus scarcity. And we can definitely talk about how that incorporates into the choices we feel like we have and the choices and opportunities that are available. But to quickly summarize, abundance mindset basically means we believe that there is opportunity out there, and that just because someone else gets something or has success in some way or manifests something or has a lot of money or anything that another person has, just because they have it doesn't mean there's less of it for us. Now, if we have the opposite belief, that's the scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset revolves around this belief, and often it's an unconscious belief. We don't know we have it, but it's this belief that the world functions in what's called a zero-sum game. So zero-sum game basically means that if I win, by default, it means you have to lose, and vice versa. And that's not the case. It's just not how the universe works, especially for most things that we really want, like money. Money is a really good example, and something that is often talked about when we are looking at scarcity and abundance mindset. So if we look at money, we can see that we can never run out of money on the planet. So just because you have $10 million does not mean there's $10 million less in the pot for me to take. Actually, the more money you have, the better for me, because the more money will then be generated. Money is just a concept that humans have created. So I actually found this really interesting stat I wanted to share. I just have my phone here. In 1970, there was $54.3 billion worth of US currency in circulation. As of January 2021, over 50 years later, just take a wild guess. How many dollars do you think were in circulation?
So depending on the whole, what is it called? The monthly compensations that they're trying to do. I don't know. They're just reprinting it. So I feel like it's a lot more. It's like...
$2.04 trillion.
$2.04 trillion.
Do you know the math of like how exponential that is?
I don't have like
it's a cryptocurrency. Yeah. Just like whoop.
Exactly. I don't have that data, but exactly, it's exponential. Right. So from 50 years ago, we have so much more money just in circulation because humans decided, hey, we want to print more money. So money, for example, is a renewable resource, and most things in this world are. If we can understand that and really embody that, then we understand that the world, the universe is abundant, and we don't have to live in this scarcity mindset. We don't have to be in this competitive state, which we often are, because we're biologically wired to be that way. Our ancestors, long time ago, you know, when we lived in the wild, we began to form clans and we fought over land and we fought over the river that ran between the clans because that water was life, that water was a resource. But you know what? Humans are so ingenious and smart and creative. This clan was like, you know what? I'm done fighting. I'm going to go look for another river. And that's how we ended up. There's a human in every nook and cranny of this globe. And actually, COVID tells us that more than ever before, because people in indigenous tribes in like the bottom corner jungle of the earth has COVID. Like, it just tells you how far and wide humans have spread across the planet, because we have that opportunity. And we can live in abundance as long as we choose to live in abundance.
Yeah, because that slight switch, like it was as you're talking about it, that slight switch, you can go from that anxiety, scarcity, like things aren't enough. And when you kind of calm that down, switching towards that abundance, everything just relaxes. And when that relaxes, as you know, obviously hormones work, everything just kind of opens up to where it kind of balances versus, okay, how do I survive? How do I make sure this isn't that? But it's just a slight mindset shift. It's like, you know what? USA is printing more money out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, Dr. Kate, we're moving into digital currency now. So in terms of the abundance of money, it's more than ever before. It's not like we even have to wait for the printing presses to print money and for the ink to dry. It's just digits now on a computer screen. I mean, if you think about how easy it will be to create abundance financially, at least in that sense, in the future. I mean, I don't even think we can imagine it right now. One of my favorite philosophers, Alan Watts, he often spoke about this abundance versus scarcity mindset in terms of money, and he compared it to building a house. So he spoke about how when we're building a house, there are certain resources that we can run out of, so they're non-renewable, like wood. So you're building the house and you might run out of wood. And if you run out of wood, you can't finish your house. And that's what we often think about in terms of everything that we have access to, but especially money. But it's not, money is not represented by the wood in this scenario. He talked about how money actually is represented by inches. And if you're building a house, you would never say, oh, I can't finish my house, I've run out of inches. Inches is just a concept that humans created to symbolize something. And because that's the case, you can never run out of it. It's a forever renewable resource. So I really loved that analogy. And it really helped me to shift my own scarcity versus abundance mindset.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because inches, things grow. It's just not... Say like there's a certain amount that's there, but things come in cycles. Just how like seasons come in cycles. Wood, you know, grows in cycles. It's not like it's always growing at the same rate, hence the rings of the tree trunk. But there's certain times that's more growth, and you just wait and you plant more, and then you just, you know, get more. It's just kind of the way you open up your mindset, thinking, okay, there is room to grow a tree. There is room to wait. There is room for this and that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And just looking at, you know, in that analogy at the project itself, you know, in the time you might run out of wood, but like you said, more can come, more will come because of that natural renewable nature of the world, of Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And of the way that the universe is structured. It's not structured for us to live in scarcity, but we have been wired, like I said, to think about things as scarce and think about competition because it helped our ancestors survive. But we're smarter now. we've evolved out of that.
Cavemen anymore. We don't
have to live, exactly. We don't have to live like that anymore. We have choices, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's like the conversation I was having with Tiara about like egg health, egg quality. When I don't know what it is, like during like maybe like late 20s or something like that, some kind of TV, some kind of thing comes around and say, oh, you only have so amount of eggs, you have to like freeze them, you have to do this, you know, all these different things. But in reality, like literally about maybe like within the last 5 years, I met one of my mentors and she's saying, your eggs renew every 120 days. So in reality,
I did not know that.
You know, it's amazing. I didn't know that either at all, because I was thinking maybe I do need to freeze my eggs, like so-and-so celebrity, you know, I don't know. But then in reality, every 120 days, your body literally is in the process of making brand new eggs. So when they say people saying the quality is not good enough, you know, I'm doomed, X, Y, and Z. It's really hard to, it's difficult when someone's stuck in that scarcity mindset to convince them, not even convince them, to educate, you know, bring that into light. You know what? Once you realize every 120 days, your blood renews, your egg renews, even sperm renews every 60 to 90 days for that, things can just change. Because when people say, oh, how come I just relaxed and like I got pregnant or whatever it is, that random miracle story that they got, like that's kind of what happens, sort of. But when you have the right materials, when you have those cycles and let it grow, things change, things renew.
My mind is blown right now. I was always taught, as I'm sure many of the people listening right now always heard, that women are born with a certain number of eggs. We're born with it, and that's it. And that's our stash, that's our supply. And once we start menstruating, we lose an egg each cycle, and that's it. When they run out, they run out. So this news that we actually can renew the eggs within us is amazing.
Yeah. Wow. I was thinking, like, how old is the oldest person? I was looking up Guinness World Record, like how old is the oldest person that ever like naturally conceived? And it was like 59.
59?
Yeah, naturally conceived. So in reality, do you want to go up to 59 to actually conceive a baby? It's up to you, you know, in reality, but it can go up to there. And then, you know, obviously the cycle comes, the hormones kind of come in a sense, right, during that time. But yeah, it's like, depends like the window. When people are in their early 20s, freaking out about the egg quality, thinking, oh, it can't change because this lab test says X number. And you're like, oh, what do I do? And thinking there's no choice. It's only X choice because this is the only thing I've heard. And that's it. But in reality, once we open up, whether it's an answer about cancer, whether it's an answer about whatever it is, issue that you may have, the answer literally is in the world. We just have to find it. That's why I feel like the spectrum of choice is so, so important for people to realize, is that once we kind of get that stress kind of like out of us and thinking, okay, what can I do? How can I do this? Like, what is it? Marie Forleo, I think, said that, like, everything is figure outable.
Yes. Right?
Literally everything is figure outable. It just depends on which way, which path you want to go about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, oh, especially around female reproductive health. I mean, I've been going down my own journey because I recently turned 36, and there's so much information out there, as I'm sure both of you know, about, you know, you need to have kids before 35. After 35, your chances significantly decrease. After 35, the chances of a healthy pregnancy decrease. You know, all of this negative news about this age. But it's like, what's the difference between me being 34 and 364 days and one day later, all of a sudden I have this thing stamped on my head? Actually, my friend, she's just a couple years older than me. She's 37. She's pregnant. She went to the doctor and the doctor called her a geriatric pregnancy. And it significantly affected her psychologically and her spirit and her energy. And it almost ruined the enjoyment of her pregnancy. She's like, I'm geriatric, you know? And I talked her off the ledge and I calmed her down and I told her that your health is in your own control. At 36, I feel more healthy, vital, energetic than I did at 26. And I know my body is in a healthier state now for reproductive health than it was at 26. Oh, because I know so much more and I know how to take care of my body and my soul and my spirit and my energy and my heart now in a way I never did before. Yeah. Do you come across stories like that too?
Yeah, and age is such a scarcity versus abundance mindset as well. Like when you mentioned, like, you know, what's the difference between 365 days versus like one day before? Like, what is the difference, right? Because every single person is so unique and it depends on what your body is like for your unique body from 26 to 36. Because for myself as well, I feel so much healthier now versus 10 years ago. Like, I would not even like imagine myself even having a child during that time of how horrible it was.
Yeah, me neither. I'm right there with you.
And so like that, even that ageism, majority of me, like about 85% of people that I literally talk to, they hate being old. The whole idea of like scarcity of like, what is it? Of you dying, like just like you have an end point to that. Even, what was it? I heard, I watched a docu-series that was called Truth About Cancer. It's like the amount of people who has been given a cancer diagnosis was giving a date. Those who choose to believe that died during that time, the doctor gave the date. But those who chose not to and see what else was out there lived way longer past what was the due date of time for their life. And so that mindset, thinking how long you'll live, plays so much of a role, right? In the brain and neuroscience, if you want to kind of share with us your thoughts on that.
Yes, exactly. The mindset that we have and the beliefs that we have about our own health and our own ability to heal ourselves can significantly change how healthy we are and change the outcome of even very severe diseases. Like, you know, they've shown that healing with the mind can happen with cancer, with different viruses, with pain, with injuries, with so many, you know, different things that we can go through. And I have read similar studies to the one you mentioned about that due date that doctors may give, an oncologist may give to a cancer patient. And actually, for that reason, I'm not sure if it's the same where you are, but here in Canada, they're starting to change the way doctors deliver news in light of this research. And they don't necessarily give a specific date and things like that anymore, unless it's very terminal. But there was this really, really interesting research that happened a few years back with a man named Mr. Wright. And Mr. Wright was diagnosed with cancer and he went into the hospital and there wasn't anything that could help him except this new drug that wasn't on the market yet. It was still in clinical trials. So they got him to take the drug and the doctor really believed in the drug and talked it up and said, this is gonna work. And I'm so excited that you have the opportunity to use this drug. And within days, his tumors melted, his cancer went away. He was up and walking around the hospital room and laughing and joking with the nurses within 3 or 4 days. And they sent him home. And then a news report came out saying that the drug had been actually proven to not work. In the clinical trials, it had failed. And he saw this news, and within a week of hearing this news, his cancer came back.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
So he went back to the hospital, and the doctor actually knew that the drug wasn't going to work, but he injected him, and this is would never go, you know, would never fly in 2021, but this was back in the 50s, I think, 50s or 60s. He injected him with saline, which is just a salt water solution. But he told him, because he knew that Mr. Wright's belief was so important, the doctor told him, this is the 2.0 version of the drug. The first one didn't work, but the second one is going to work so well. I really believe in it. Again, within days, Mr. Wright's tumors completely melted away. He was healthy. He went home. And he didn't even receive a drug that time. He just received salt water in a syringe. So it was his belief and his power of his own mind and his belief he could get better that healed him. But then the sad news is, once again, he, you know, got basically saw news reports that said that, you know, there really wasn't a 2.0 of the drug, and this drug really did fail the clinical trials. And he passed away shortly after because he lost his faith in belief. But for that short window, he had such a strong belief that he was going to be okay. And so he was.
Yeah, because there's even when I was watching that and other colleagues who's been diagnosed with it as well, with different sorts of cancer, the thought of what you have, depending, is it anger, is it like all these different emotions manifests different ways in your organs differently. And so certain things may come up in that organ, cancer cells, and then other parts, depending on how you're feeling, depending on what's stuck in us that we don't, you know, talk, or we don't solve, basically, it just gets stuck. And so it's crazy, even by thought, right? That's why when I work with people for chiropractic, they're like, what's the reason why I'm not aligned yet? All these different reasons. Because one of the reasons is mental. One of the reasons is the stressors that we have, the thoughts that we have that shape how we literally kind of posture ourselves. And so it's when you're constantly doing this, you know, no matter how much I adjust, yes, it'll help, but it's going to keep on, you know, happening. And so a lot of times that's why it's so important to recognize, find out the cause and the root cause to a reason versus just mitigating for the symptoms.
I think you bring up a really good point right there, like the root cause of the reason, because I've just been like enjoying the conversation.
She's sitting back, chilling, this is like awesome.
I'm like, I love this. And something that I keep hearing you guys say and not really saying at the same time is how our health, our mindset around scarcity abundance is impacted by our outside influences, you know, and how easily we can be influenced without even recognizing it. Like, Kate, you're having clients come to you and saying, well, I'm getting adjusted. Why isn't this working? And you know, well, something has to be going on with your mental emotional state. But how do you even begin to unpack all of that for a client? You know, because yes, it's most likely their mental and emotional state, but is it something that happened yesterday? Is it something that happened last year? Is it something that happened in your childhood years ago? And then how are these stories interacting, your past stories interacting with these stories that are coming at you day to day to day? Like Naza, how you said, the guy, he started to believe, hey, I am better. Then the news said, hey, did you know that drug didn't work? And instead of being like, oh shit, I'm a miracle, he said, oh shit, I'm gonna die, you know? And so I know for me, that has been a really big part of me being able to heal and move forward is recognizing how I allow myself to interact with the stories around me. But I also recognize it's not that easy. Like, I think for the three of us, it's super easy because this is what we do. You know, like we nerd out on this stuff day and night. This is our thing to do. And some people, like, they're still trying to grasp the concept of, what do you mean my thoughts control my reality? You know, like to them, that's still woo woo. And you're overly optimistic. I still hear people tell me I'm overly optimistic, and we have science to back this stuff now, you know? So how, Naza, can you speak to when helping people recognize themselves on their journey so that they can make these shifts and make these shifts in a way that, you know, I totally believe that you can, I call it manic manifesting, like when you're panicking. And so you're like, I gotta do this. You know, so how do you prevent that? Because we know what happens when you manic manifest. How can people really get clear on what's going on within them and how it's impacting their external world.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for watching my latest YouTube video. That's so exciting. Plug for my YouTube channel if anyone watching is interested. It's, you can find me on YouTube at Nazan Alani. But yeah, that's exactly what I talked about in my last video, is this energy of manic manifesting, but it's almost this desperation energy. Not calling anyone desperate, I've been there too, but
it's, I'm sorry, we have to talk about desperate though. We do. Because there's a different energy with it. There's, when you're desperate, you believe that you're never gonna get it. That's why it's so hard. When you're determined, you know it's there, it's just on its way.
Exactly. Yeah. And also part two to that is that oftentimes when we really, 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 really want something, we might approach it with, this is something I teach in my Intentional Dreamers program, and it's called, I call it staring energy. Have you ever been on public transportation or out and about and you feel someone staring at you? And then you look over and you catch them and they look away and it's really awkward for a few seconds. Yeah. So if you think about that, when we really, really, really want something and we're going after something, oftentimes we approach it with that energy. So here's the object of our desire, whether it's a person or a job or, you know, money or whatever it is we want, health, you know, a baby, whatever we want. And we're like, I want it, I want it, I want you, I need you, I need you in my life. I mean, we're not saying that, but that's the energy we're approaching it with. That seeing that object of our desire has that negative experience, has that tense experience of being stared at uncomfortably. And what is the natural response to that? Well, if I'm being stared at and I catch someone, my response is to move away from them, right? I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that energy. So we can apply that to this situation too, when it's us and the object of our desire, whatever it may be. So exactly like you said, we have to be really aware of the energy we're approaching things with, the mindset we're approaching things with. But just to rewind a little bit back to the very basics of it, I mean, you're right. There are still so many of us out there who are not fully convinced that we can create our own realities, that our mind controls what happens to us. Some of us believe that, you know, things happen as they will and we just have to deal with it. We just have to respond. But our ability to actually interact with the world is in our control, because as humans, we have been gifted with the amazing, beautiful brain that we have that is actually able to filter out a lot of information. So I can't remember if I shared this in the first chat we had together on the Holistic Hope podcast, but when we're just living our lives, we're taking in over 11 billion pieces of information per moment. So right now, there's light waves coming into my eyes. There's sound waves coming into my ears. The feeling of my clothes touching my skin. My brain is actually processing all of this information, as well as energy. I'm feeling your energy and Dr. Kate's energy and my husband. I can see him right over here. You can't see him, but he's sitting over here, and I'm sensing what he's doing. And the off-gassing of the paint of the wall we just painted because we're selling this condo. My brain is processing everything, but I'm not aware of it all, because we'd go crazy if we were aware of 11 billion pieces of information. So we have a part of the brain that's called the reticular activating system. And this is the biggest blessing, because what it does is it takes all of this information and it funnels it down to just 40 pieces. 40 pieces of information of the world around us that we will become consciously aware of. And then we can choose to interact. So I'm, not consciously paying attention to my husband over there, or the construction outside, or the paint on the wall. I'm focused on the two of you and your beautiful faces right now. And that's my reticular activating system funneling this information. Now, most of the time, we're not doing this purposely. We can choose where to focus our attention, but most of the time, our brain has learned patterns on what to focus on based on our past behavior. So if it knows that, Naza really loves to focus on ABC every time she interacts with it, my brain will begin to automatically focus on those things for me. So we can retrain our brains. We can retrain our brains to focus on the things that we want. And when we interact with our environment in this new way, we begin to create a new reality. So this will make a lot more sense if I give an example. And one really amazing example that happened was with money. I really, really wanted to bring in some extra money because I really wanted a new laptop for my business. I didn't have the funds to invest at the time, but I set the intention and I told my brain, okay, brain, please look out for opportunities where I can bring in some extra money. So I log into my bank account, and in my bank account, there's this huge banner across the bottom that says, if you sign up for this checking account or investing account or something, you get $1,000. It was this crazy promotion. And that was exactly what I needed to make my dream come true and get my laptop. But what's so funny is I realized going back that that promotion had been on there for 3 months. I had logged into my account, I don't know, probably at least 100 times, and I never saw it. So it was part of my reality, but my brain was not attuned to it, was not focused on it. But now that I set the intention, I began to notice things I wouldn't have otherwise, and it began to change my reality in a way that was very beneficial for me. Have either of you had experience like that, where you started to focus on something and all of a sudden you started noticing it everywhere?
For myself, I thought it was really cool that when people are saying, oh, I see these like repeating numbers or these numbers are, you know, supposedly for manifesting an XYZ and whatnot. I was like, man, I don't think I've ever seen these numbers ever. And then I was like, one day I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to see. Because usually 11-11 is one of those times, but in my head, I'm like, well, I'm almost working at 11-11, so I'm probably not going to see that number. But then all of a sudden, maybe like about a week or two later, I'm like, these numbers just keep on popping up. And now I started noticing all these different numbers. I was like, oh, maybe it's like in my head, maybe I'm starting to align, maybe all these different things, but maybe my intention is there. It's always been there. I just never really cared about it before.
Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect one sentence summary of what I just said. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, is you've set this intention. You've never really cared about these things, but now you do. It's always been there, but now you're seeing things in a different way, which will then allow you to interact with the world around you in a unique new way. And that then changes what happens next and changes what's to come for you. So we can completely shift the path we're on by making these small changes.
Love it.
Yeah, I really like, it's going to make me cry because the Facebook post I was telling you about from before. So this must be the day to talk about this story. That's pretty much was the gist of my post, how you have to refocus your energy for what your heart really desires. And at the start of the post, I was talking about where I was separating my husband all 2020. We actually came off of a shorter separation from 2019 and then went right back into separation. So it was just horrible, you know, like very emotional. And there was like the big part of me that I knew I wanted us to work. I knew I wanted my marriage, but you know, I had those, but he has to do this and he has to do that. I had my contingencies, right? And so it came a day where it was like, look, Tiara, either you want this or you don't. You can't put contingencies on it. Either you're all in or you're not. So when I committed to, I want my marriage to work. I understood I could only control me, nobody else. And so what that meant was, what can I do to have more of the energy around my home that contributes to a healthy marriage, right? So the story I shared on my Facebook today was how I used laundry to heal hurts in our marriage. And what happened was, when he left, you know, he kind of left some clothes here and there just because he couldn't take everything. He was moving in with his mom. So my anger and bitterness allowed me to just, I find it, toss it. F him. He left. Get his stuff out of here, right? And then when I made the shift, though, I realized, I'm not holding space for my husband to come back home. You know,
I'm keeping it away at this point because I'm not making it an environment to where he's welcome. And if I were in his shoes, I wouldn't want to feel like my wife hates me by me coming home. I'd want to feel welcomed. And I want to feel like this is the place where we can have a healthy family and a healthy home. So I immediately regretted throwing away all his laundry because I realized I'm throwing away pieces of my husband. Energetically, that's what I'm doing. I'm aligning with the agreement that our marriage is over. And so I didn't want that though. So I waited until I just had a knowing that there will be more clothes of his that are going to pop up and we're going to treat those clothes differently. Lo and behold, I end up with a mini pile of laundry for him. And I would wash his clothes like I would wash me and the girls' clothes. And when I wash them, I think about how much I loved him, our relationship, our friendship, how much our marriage meant to me, how excited I was that he was going to come home one day. And I just trusting that he's going through his stuff, he's going to come home, you know, focusing on that. When I'd fold the clothes, I do Reiki. I put all that energy into his clothes, right? If I felt anger, hurt, whatever, I'd cry. And then I'd hug his clothes in forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. Never told him I was doing this. It was just a thing I would do. I cleared out a space in my closet to put his clothes. And that was like my way of saying, our home is always your home. This is your home. Never told him. Couldn't be 3 months later. Just miraculous, drastic changes. Like things that you can only pray for to happen. Started happening. We're back together. Things are great. Our communication's amazing. We have the relationship we've always said we wanted. We check in. It's just great. I did nothing to him. Everything was in how I refocused my energy, and in refocusing my energy to only be what it was I wanted in our relationship, I started seeing the opportunities to act the part. You know? So, and I was allowing myself to operate in the scarcity of, we have too many issues to make this work. And it wasn't until I decided, nope, we have every reason to make this work, that it worked. And he'll tell you, the way he describes it is, I just saw you living your best life despite everything that was against you. And I knew I wanted to be a part of that. Oh. So I got my shit together. That's how he'll tell it. I didn't say anything to him. You know, he just decided, I want that too. And so he decided to align with the process. And now here we are doing it together.
Wow. I'm in tears with you.
And to see how many women needed that mindset shift. How many women came on the post and said, I've been doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to approach this with love because that's what I want in my life. And that's all it really takes. And it's hard. And I know Kate knows that when we make that shift, it feels like everything in the universe decides, I'm going to challenge you to see how badly you really want this.
Yeah.
But he really is understanding, I am abundance. Not abundance comes to me. I am abundance. That's why abundance comes to me. And because I choose to stand and walk in my abundance, I get to have everything my heart desires. And then just to be happy in that. And how can you not be happy knowing that? So.
Wow, what an amazing.
I know, we're like.
Story. Tiara, thank you so much for sharing that. I know everyone listening and myself, you know, just so moved by that and can relate. I can relate to that so much. And I'm sure so many others can, as you said in your Facebook post, they could too. And what you were doing is actually one of my most favorite manifesting techniques, which is called living as if.
So, that's what I put in my post.
Did you? Yes, love that.
Nice. Look at this alignment.
That's amazing. Yeah, so I mean, that's exactly what you were doing. You decided the life you wanted, and instead of waiting until it came to you to live that reality. You began living it right away. You began living as if your husband was back, and that attracted his energy back. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing how powerful we can be when we take ownership for our own lives, but also our part in a relationship. And I think that's something that's so wonderful that you're talking about, because so many times people don't want to talk about struggles in relationships because, you know, they don't want to share that and things like that. But it's so important to for us to hear about that, because we can then see exactly how you transformed within yourself, and you consciously made the choice to do things differently on your end, which then changed the situation as a whole and changed his part in the relationship too. And that's something that I teach my clients all the time, is that, you know, I have so many clients that come to me and they say, you know, work, for example, the people I work with are so negative and they're so exhausting, or the people in my family are so negative and exhausting, or, you know, my husband or whatever it is. And what I always say is, you know, you can only control you, but what you can do is you can be such a light that your light encompasses them, and you'll see that their energy will start to shift without you actually even saying anything. You just be you and live in your authenticity and act as if, you know, the situation is how you want it to be already. And people respond to that, and they really do.
Yeah.
For those who are listening right now who feel like they're in that scarcity, in that rut, like, what do I do? Things are coming at me. Sometimes, like what Tiara was saying, when you shift yourself without even saying it, just to see what happens in general, because you just love what's going on, everything else tends to align. You may not know what the time is, you may not know when it happens, how it happens, all these different things, but you know that once you do that shift, that's the first step. That's the first awareness of all of this. That's why we love talking to Naza, because she's just a breath of light spreads everywhere.
Well, I love being here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
If you love to tie any loose ends that you were talking about in regards to scarcity versus abundance, how we can help those who may feel like they're stuck, which Tiara gave a tremendous example already for that. But if you want to add to that.
Amazing. Amazing. So let's go full circle. And I'm not sure if this part was recorded, but when we were chatting earlier, Tiara had mentioned how she just went through this very powerful experience this morning with this post and how she got emotional. And you mentioned, Tiara, that a huge part of that was how you were talking about how you manifested and transformed through gratitude. And we are always in such alignment. That is actually one of the things I wrote down that I wanted to talk about today, in terms of how to shift out of a scarcity mindset and into an abundance mindset and really embody the truth that you are, I am, we all are abundance. Like you said, I don't have abundance. I am abundance. It is within me. It is inherent in me. And one of the easiest and best ways to do that is to just practice gratitude. And the reason this works is because when we begin to, you know, look at the things we have currently and the things we're grateful for in our lives, we begin to realize how much there really is, how much has already come to us. And what this does is it provides evidence for our brain, because our brain loves evidence. It provides our brain evidence that the world is not, you know, scarcity energy. The world is abundance. And the more we practice gratitude, the stronger that belief becomes that what we want can and will come to us, because it has in the past. And that's why we have amazing things. And maybe we don't have everything we want yet, but it's on our way to us. And when we begin to incorporate gratitude practices in our lives, it could be something as simple as, you know, each morning writing down three things you're grateful for, or I love to do it at the end of the day. Three things I'm grateful for that day. And they can be super simple. You know, I could have eaten a really, really good dinner that my husband cooked. Or today I'm going to write this, conversation down in my journal. This is something I'm so grateful for and happy about. And as you reflect on these, your energy aligns with this abundance, and then you attract more.
Awesome. I think we'll end it at that. I'm gonna take a quick Instagram
picture. Instagram picture.
Sounds good.
Okay. My crying eyes.
Oh no, you look beautiful. This was so fun.
I loved this episode. I can't wait to share it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Did you want to do any kind of intro or ending or anything? Or are you gonna do that after?
Usually we I say something in the beginning and the end, but if you have anything extra that's coming up in the next couple weeks, if you want to send that to me, I can add it in there.
So awesome. No, there's nothing. I just wanted to know if you needed anything else from me.
Okay. I think that's it. Yeah.
We have her link. We have your links and everything in the description. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And maybe I need you on my, are you on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need you in my life, Nazan.
Yes. The feeling is mutual. Yes. Please find me. Just Nazan Alani. I think I'm the only one on there with that name.
Yeah. I'm the only one in the world. That's awesome.
Well, okay. Thank you so much, both of you, for having me. It was amazing and so fun as always. And
congratulations on everything.
I know. So,
thank you. Me too.
I was making assumptions, but you're starting your conceiving journey soon.
We're talking about.
Okay.
Beginning.
Oh, you can't do that though. You just gotta prep it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That's cool.
Yeah, we want to get the move done and everything first. I know I have so many friends who they're 8 months pregnant and they're moving, and I don't know how they do it. They're amazing, and I mean, yeah, they are exhausted, but
yeah,
it's one of those things.
You know what though? When you're 8 months pregnant, you can't help but do stuff like that. Like even if you weren't moving, you would rearrange your whole house. You just
nesting phase.
Mm-hmm. My husband pulled me up off the ground and was like, can you stop scrubbing floors? I don't want you going into labor on this floor.
Oh my goodness.
And it just happened with the second baby, not so much the first baby. But with that first baby, you're going to have a whole new house whether you're moving or not.
Something fun to look forward to. I love that. Yeah, so we're beginning the journey shortly, but yeah, it's crazy, as I'm sure you both know, how much conflicting information is out there. Scientific information that's conflicting.
Yeah.
You know, it's really exhausting. That's why I appreciate things this podcast that both of you do. That's a trusted source information that I feel like I can really rely on, and it kind of helps clarify things that it can be so confusing if you are not an expert in any of this. So
yeah,
thank you to both of you for all you do.
Yeah, thank you. I know.
will those browsers you told me about, would those help Naza find unfiltered information?
Maybe Naza knows already, DuckDuckGo and stuff like that.
You use what are those?
Okay, because Google sometimes filters. Certain things, but you use things like DuckDuckGo or the Brave browser, those search engines.
Oh, I've never heard of these. I'm gonna write them down.
Won't be censored or filtered to where, because Google kind of pushes things above depending on who funds it,
who's
not all that stuff. But DuckDuckGo usually doesn't track you when you do, it doesn't pop up on your Gmail, oh, you searched for this. Oh,
Wow.
So maybe that'll help you get more clear answers.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've never heard of either of these, DuckDuckGo and Brave Browser. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love
it. Anything censored, how do you get through that?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate both of you so much. And let's do a part 3 down the road.
Oh, yes!
We'll plan for that. I'll email you.
Amazing. Maybe way later, in the summer or fall, once my move is done and I have my sanity back.
Yes. We can do an end of year wrap up. That would be a fun one.
That would be really cool.
Maybe.